Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Traveling in a fighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
When I saw this on the agenda originally, I saw the pictures and I know that before this even came up, I know that, and I'm not going to mention any names, but it's well known that there's a neighborhood Karen around there that is a very big complainer about people, boats, everything.
I'm not going to mention any names, but her name is Karen. Wait, is her name Karen or is she a Karen? No, she's a Karen, he says. It's just such a funny way to say it. Not going to say nobody's name. Karen. So, James Calkins, it's always James Calkins, commissioner for District 3, is pitching a fit over a proposed ordinance that would allow the Santa Rosa County Commission, the administrator, to set time limits for people in using public amenities, boat docks, and tying up to those docks that would vary based on each individual place or amenity that's being used. Could be an hour, could be a half hour, could be 2 hours, just kind of depends. And James Calkins says, oh, hell no, man. We ain't that kind of county. We for freedom.
I think we need to be against these kind of regulations. I think we need to be for freedom. I absolutely do not think we need another ordinance, a regulation, anything like that. I think it's fine the way it is. And I don't want to see our county become like all these other places where they have rules for everything. They have no freedom.
Okay. So, you know, it's actually one of those interesting cases where I don't actually have to explain it as much because the other commissioners stepped up and tried to explain it to him. That his, you know, one-inch deep conservatism has not thought through the implications of what he's saying, and he just don't like those restrictions. No, I'm for freedom. Well, you know, sometimes when people misuse their freedom and it actually adversely affects other people's ability to use their freedom, then you have a thing called government that that steps in and says, knock it off, because your abuse of your freedom is making it so that other people lose their freedom. And so in the conflict between freedom claims, we need to have a resolution, because otherwise we have fistfights and gunfights. Instead, we have government. Sometimes government does nothing. That's an allowable answer. Sometimes government restricts the offender. That's an allowable answer. And, you know, I mean, these are just the things that government does. Okay, it can look at it either. Sometimes it can go the other way. I mean, just government responds, right, when it's asked. So in this case, you got basically one guy. He's been a problem in Milton. He's been a problem around the area. And the challenge is that, like, regulating people and what they do on their boats is a complex place legally because of maritime law or state law, fish and wildlife regulations. It's just they're trying to find a solution for this, and they're not sure where to go, so they've come to the county asking. And Kerry Smith, who's an avid boater, says,
so some docks, like, there's no need to be tied up to a dock more than an hour when you're loading or disembarking or, yeah, either way, when you're coming in on a dock. And it is county property, and it is for all of us to use. For an individual to stay tied up to a dock for days and weeks on end, I've been by one dock, and this one in particular, in Markey Basin. I go by there every evening. The guy's there. And I don't know when you've been by there, Commissioner Calkins, but I go by every evening on my way home, and the guy's there.
So at first, Commissioner Calkins claimed that the guy wasn't there, I guess the one time he went, and Kerry Smith's like, I see him all the time. I don't know what you're talking about. And it's so that everybody has access. Again, preserving freedom for everybody by limiting the freedom of one or some to abusive uses of their freedom. Oh, no. No, we're not going to have any of that, James Calkins says. We are going to keep us a freedom country. Freedom County. We're Santa Rosa. We're not New Jersey.
What this is more regulation, less freedom, and it's typical government. And we are unique as a county. We are a freedom county. But there's a lot of people that want to change us and make us like California and New Jersey and create more regulations on people and create less freedom. And I'm not for that. And so.
And I'm out of words. but look, there's all kinds of laws and rules that you make because of people's bad behavior. You could make the case that littering is an exercise of freedom. And it's illegal. Why? I mean, we're Freedom County. We should be able to litter. Well, because it affects either private property or public property. It is a nuisance. It's a blight. It's an eyesore. And it's people misusing their freedom. Well, I don't want that. We don't want to be New Jersey. It's just, like I said, it's one inch thick conservatism, which is not thick enough, really. Kerry Smith explaining, this is not just like one area. This is really for the whole county.
It's not about that neighborhood and a Karen. This is about a countywide issue. So I'm not really going to focus on just one location. This is a countywide issue that we don't need people tying to a dock. And that's just as simple as that.
No, it's not just this issue. There's a fundamental difference.
Sir, I don't think I'm done.
Stop interrupting. Control yourself.
I think somebody's next in line. I'm not going to get into a debate with you. I don't have the voice nor the energy to do that today.
We'll come back to this in just a second. Let me get a quick traffic break in here from Austin, sir. Thank you for filling in for John while he's out.
No problem. Anytime. Looking at the roads here, we only have a couple of issues to report on. Pace Boulevard, if you're traveling southbound towards Garden Street, we do have some slight issues over there. Still got some problems lingering as well on Scenic Highway traveling northbound, right where Cervantes turns into Scenic. We do have some problems over there as well. And then last but certainly not least, I-10, if you're traveling eastbound towards Highway 29, we've got some congestion there. We have had it for a little while this morning, but it has greatly increased, so be on the lookout for that. Outside of those few spots, though, there's not much holding you up at this time. I'm Austin Price with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Austin. I got a text in from somebody here says this quote-unquote boater was a code enforcement problem for 5 years. Like, it's not a boating. Anyway, it's this one challenging person that is, as often happens, forcing us to have to think about how do we handle this problem, okay? Colton Wright, responding to the alleged New Jerseyfication of Santa Rosa County by trying to create a rule that would prevent this one particularly problematic behavior, turns to the county attorney for a little bit of analogical reasoning.
I just got to just double check a question for our attorney. County does not allow camping in our parks, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so.
You see where he's going to go with this? You're not allowed to camp in the parks, right? Why? Because it's a public space that everybody wants to use, and camping interferes with other people's ability to use the space, right? Where's he going with that?
We're not allowed to have homeless people or anybody else camping out in our parks. This is no different. It's a regulation that would basically just keep people from being able to camp out and monopolize a dock that's a public amenity. So if we want to talk about California, California does allow people to park and camp in the parks and homeless people to be everywhere. So I think this is actually just the opposite. And I look forward to voting on it Thursday.
So if anything, Commissioner Calkins, you're the one making us like California by allowing this bad behavior of the homeless boater out camping endlessly using up a public amenity. That's a really quite an interesting analogy. And then Sam Parker, finally, who has in recent months aligned himself a little bit more with the, you know, hyper-Trumpy MAGA Calkins, whatever it is, non-conservatism, that, you know, he's kind of got a little bit softer on that. They're sort of like the closest allies. He's like the closest ally to James Calkins on the board. Not that he is an ally, but it's like closest too. So Sam Parker's like, brother.
I think that it would be laughable to try to insinuate, and this is the reason I'm speaking up, to try to insinuate that I am somehow for oppressing people's freedoms. Especially with the track record I have, I don't see this as a taking freedom away issue. I see this as a responsible issue.
And, you know, they're kind of both. It can be an infringement. I mean, look, government infringes freedom. That's what it does. But it infringes freedom when people aren't being responsible, as in when they're not properly stewardshipping or taking care of other people's freedom or their own or public property. That's the idea. Yes, it's a limitation on freedom. Not all limitations on freedom are bad, unless you're an anarchist. And if your version of conservatism is actually anarchy, we could have a talk about that.
I can sympathize with the statements that were made. We have boat ramps to be used by any boat owner in the county. And docks, albeit in this photo, may not be full on a Saturday or Sunday at the river. There's a lot of people there, just like at Navarre Beach or whatever. And it just goes to what we would think would be normal, decent, common courtesy to park temporarily while you get your vehicle or you park your vehicle.
And it is. And when people behave properly, you can have a small government because you don't have to get people to behave because they are self-regulating. To the degree that people will not self-regulate or self-govern, somebody's got to come in and govern them. Or you get conflict and problems, and conflict and problems, you know, are the reason government exists in the first place. So Sam Parker also says, look, James.
Change today. I'm the only member.
Oh, hold on just a second. I went to the beginning of the sound clip.
And I'm speaking up because, quite frankly, I believe in adhesion. I do believe in law and order. I am the only member of the board. It might change today. I'm the only member of the board that you have not called a rhino in the past.
That's right, because you're not.
But I'll tell you, this.
He just can't not talk. That was highly amplified off mic because he's always muttering off the mic.
But I'll tell you, this is not about taking people's freedom away. This is about the fact that on Saturday or Sunday, when the hundreds of responsible boaters that utilize our waterways every weekend at various boat docks and ramps don't have to deal with a bad actor or potentially a couple bad actors, because I do not want to become the homeless water encampment capital of Northwest Florida.
If you let this pattern go on, you'll actually get New Jersey and California, sir, so you've got it exactly backwards, and thanks for not calling me a rhino, which a rhino to James Calkins is anybody who doesn't agree with him. It's just an amazing thing. So I was actually proud of all the commissioners for explaining this back to him, and they're going to vote on it on Thursday. By the way, if you're wondering what the ordinance will do, is it'll basically just give the county administrator the authority. They'll have a sign at each boat ramp that says this is how long you can keep, you know, dock there, because each one is a little bit different. Might be half an hour here, an hour there, 2 hours there, whatever, which is a perfectly appropriate response to misuse of a public amenity so that all people can enjoy it. Simple. You'd think simple, but then again, 7:23 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay, and if you're thinking about that next vehicle and kind of wondering whether it's time to go, here's one of the things that Frontier does, okay, that just kind of makes them a little bit different. You know, I say they serve the Pensacola community, and part of the reason is because they give a Carfax for free for anybody who either buys a car from them. You know, if you go to look at a car, they'll give you a Carfax and a price sheet, easy. But if you go to buy a car from, you know, Jimmy on the corner, and he doesn't give you a Carfax because how would he even have it? Just take the VIN over to Frontier and they'll run you a Carfax for a car you're going to buy from somebody else. Say, why would they do that? Because they can help, because it's easy, because it's a service. Now, Carfax is not everything you need to know about a car. It's not necessarily, I mean, it's not comprehensive, but it's to the degree it's been reported, and it's better than nothing. I recommend a good used vehicle inspection if you're going to buy a used car from somebody. Trust me, from experience, you want a good used vehicle inspection. But a Carfax is a start. Okay, it'll teach you things that you maybe didn't know, and they do it. Why? Because it can help. Simple. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hey, Pensacola, Gary from Warrior Beer Company, inviting you to come out and enjoy great beer, great food, great fun. Warrior Beer Company has Military Open Mic Monday, Trivia Tuesday, Karaoke Wednesdays, Singo Bingo on Thursdays, and live music all weekend. We have 20 different brews and ciders. We are located just west of Blue Angel Parkway on Sereno Road. Always remember, from freedom fighters to everyday warriors, we got your six.
Here's today's Strength for Life. Excuses are destroying your success. Luke 14 records the devastating effects of being an excuse maker. One man said that he couldn't attend the master's supper because he had to prove oxen, while another said he had purchased land that he must go see. Yet a third man had just married a wife and therefore he couldn't attend. Their excuses were cloaked in half-truths, nonsense, and self-will. As a result, the master invited the poor, halt, lame, and blind to his dinner. The self-willed people rejected the supper, but the desperate-hearted people received the supper. In the seats of the original invitees sat poor, halt, lame, and blind. If excuse makers don't want to enjoy the benefits that God provides, someone else will. You can choose your excuses, but you don't get to choose the consequences. So beware of being an excuse maker.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for fall semester is now open. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Some candidates talk about change. While they talk, Commissioner Jeff Burgosh delivers. Real change that matters to citizens. New parks, roads, and sidewalks. More beach access, a new library and fire station. Record revenues, record property values, and higher pay for first responders. Commissioner Jeff Burgosh fights hard for the people of Escambia County and will never raise your property tax rates. Jeff has proven to be a conservative, tested, and trusted Republican leader. And he's being endorsed in this race by some of the most respected Republican in our county, including Sheriff Chip Simmons, State Representative Michelle Salzman, and Congressman Matt Gaetz. As your county commissioner, Jeff has worked tirelessly on behalf of the people of District 1 and Escambia County. On August 20th, re-elect the neighbor you know and the name you trust. Re-elect Jeff Burgosh. Read all of Jeff's endorsements, testimonials, and his strategic plan for District 1 at jeffburgosh.com. Keep leadership that delivers.
Paid for by Jeff Burgosh, Republican for Escambia County Commission.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I request nothing beyond the thickly cushioned luxury of seats available even in soft Corinthian leather.
Here on News Radio 92.3, Austin is in this morning with traffic for us. Austin?
Well, on Navy Boulevard, if you're traveling eastbound, this is going to be if you are coming from New Warrington Road. We do have some backups developing there, but man, the main spot right now is going to be I-10. If you are traveling eastbound towards Highway 29, we're getting pretty used to having backups over there, but it is far more severe at this time with the congestion pushing you back all the way to Pine Forest Road, so be on the lookout for that. Outside of those couple of spots, though, there's not too much going on. I'm also surprised with you. What? Wait, I lied! If you're traveling southbound on Scenic Highway towards I-10, we have some backups there as well. Outside of those few spots, not much holding you up at this time.
Right at the bend there on Navy is what you're talking about, right? The eastbound on the bend going northeast?
Yes, cool. Yes, right there.
I was looking at the map. I'm like, wait, oh, okay, I see. in the newsroom this morning, we've got Steve sitting in for David. Steve?
Well, good morning. The U.S. Defense Department is blaming Iran-aligned militia groups for the rocket attack that injured several U.S. personnel at a military base in western Iraq. The attack, which the Defense Department is calling a dangerous escalation, struck the Al-Asad air base. The U.S. added 8 more medals in the Paris Olympics yesterday. Team USA, yay, is now up to 79 total medals, including 21 gold. gold, which ties China for the most gold so far. The Chinese sit second in the overall standings with 53 total medals. France is number three with 48. Simone Biles earned a silver medal yesterday as she wraps up her time in the Paris Olympics. And that's what's happening.
Yeah, it was weird gymnastics yesterday. On the beam, everybody fell.
Slippery.
Everybody. I've never seen it. I mean, the girls were falling off to the side, falling on themselves. I was worried somebody's going to get hurt. Like, it was bad. And then, it was a Simone who stepped out twice during her routine. I think it was in her floor routine. And then on the high bar, on the men's bar, like, they were falling again. Like, you never see it. You never see this except maybe one time, and they were all falling on their dismounts. It was weird. It was really, really, really weird in the individual apparatus finals yesterday. Steve, thanks so much for the update. 7:30 here on News Radio 92.3. Hey, we got bands on the beach tonight. It's Blackwater Country. Starts at 7 o'clock, Gulfside Pavilion. So always a good time. Come and bring your fun.
I'm Gianna Gelosi. Vice President Kamala Harris expected to announce her running mate today, and Reuters reports it's down to two governors, Tim Walz of Minnesota and Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania. The two will hold an event in Philadelphia today, whoever she picks, before going on a multi-state campaign swing.
J.D. Vance, interestingly, will then follow essentially Harris and the new running mate through at least Thursday with the stops in Michigan, Wisconsin, and North Carolina.
That's Fox's Brian Yenes, but those campaign plans could be hampered by some wild weather courtesy of Tropical Storm Debbie, that's stalling out over Georgia and the Carolinas. Fox Weather's Mike Seidel of Palms, South Carolina.
And the storm is going to come offshore and sit basically off South Carolina, may come back inland Thursday and Friday, and that's why we have a real issue.
At least five storm-related deaths have been reported. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 right now, 78 degrees and sunny. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. A Pensacola man's been arrested for a murder last June at the Forest Creek Apartments. Tyrell Griffin has been charged with second-degree murder. Investigators say Griffin fired several gunshots at the apartment complex back in June of 2023 and struck a male victim who was an unintended target. The man was taken to a hospital where he later died. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says they located Griffin last Thursday. He attempted to flee into the water near the Navy Point Bridge, but deputies and Marine units took him into custody. Pensacola's 2025 fiscal budget has been drafted, and it amounts to about $317.3 million. According to the city press release, there'll be no millage rate increase. City officials said in the release that the general fund is expected to see $5.9 million in revenue growth. $1.7 million of the fund balance will be appropriated, leaving $14.399 million in the council reserves. A pair of public hearings will happen sometime in August to discuss that budget. The Pensacola City Council will hold an 8:30 a.m. workshop session next Monday at the Hagler Mason Conference Room, which is located on the second floor of City Hall. A 32-year-old man is charged with attempted murder for a double stabbing at Escambia County Saturday. Jacobia Newberry is being held in Escambia County Jail without bond on two counts of attempted murder. According to the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, two people were stabbed on Blood Street about 3:30 p.m. on Saturday. They were taken to the hospital. There's no word on their condition. NAS Pensacola opened their fitness facilities 24/7 for military members on board NAS Pensacola. The base's Morale, Welfare, and Recreation Department made that announcement recently. That comes following a memorandum from the senior Navy officials to allow eligible people 24/7 access no matter what their work schedule looks like. Let's check the forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a very hot day today with temperatures near 98 degrees, 20% chance of a stray sprinkle. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the upper 70s. As we head into Wednesday, the hot weather continues with a high near 99, 10% chance of a stray sprinkle. Overnight, temperatures back in the 70s, some of us staying in the 80s as we go into the morning hours. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEARTV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And let's check in with Austin for traffic on the fives.
Well, looking at the roads here, it doesn't appear to be too much going on. We do have some backups on I-10, though, that are very severe. If you're traveling eastbound towards Highway 29, they're going to have you backed up past Pine Forest Road at this time. Outside of that, there's not too much going on. I'm Austin Price with your traffic on the 5. Steve?
Well, let's check out what's happening on Wall Street. This is Your Money Now. A federal judge is ruling that Google violated U.S. antitrust laws. Lisa Taylor has more.
In a landmark decision issued Monday, the judge says the tech giant acted illegally to maintain an online search monopoly. The Department of Justice and a group of several states sued Google in 2020. They accused Google of paying companies such as Samsung and Apple billions of dollars each year to have their smartphones and web browsers automatically use their search engine. The ruling could lead to penalties such as forcing Google to change the way it operates or even sell parts of its business. I'm Lisa Taylor.
Stock futures are in the green as pre-market trading is looking a lot better than it was just 24 hours ago. After yesterday's crushing losses both before the bell and all the way through closing, all through major indexes appear to be heading to higher opens. At the last check, the Dow futures were up in the neighborhood of 200 points, NASDAQ futures slightly higher than that, and the S&P 500 up around 50 points. That's Your Money Now on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable.
Flashlights, check. Camp stove, check. Canned goods, check. Ice chests, check.
Say, what you doing there, neighbor? Going camping?
Not exactly, but it is hurricane season. We've already had a few power outages just with thunderstorms, so I'm getting prepared.
I see. Getting ready for a little indoor camping.
Yeah, you know how it is.
Actually, I don't. We have natural gas from Pensacola Energy at our house, so when the power is out, we still cook up a storm and take hot showers. And since we added the whole house generator, we just keep on like nothing happened.
Must be nice.
It is. Pensacola Energy made it really easy, and we got some great rebates.
How can I get in on that?
Forget indoor camping and get comfortable with natural gas. To learn more about earning up to $3,000 in rebates, call Pensacola Energy at 850-436-5050 or visit PensacolaEnergy.com. We keep on.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be discussing Great Southern Summer Restaurant Week, Jackson's and Julia, Atlas Beverage Class, Atlas Oyster House Brother Fox Collaboration Dinner, cooking classes at Jackson's, and 75-cent Oyster Night at Atlas, tomorrow at 9.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-6620.
I'm Dr. Karen Barber, Superintendent of Schools, and I lead 3,100 educators who are dedicated to the success of our students. Under my leadership, teachers have received an average of 16% in raises, moving the average teacher salary from 1.06 below the state average to 1.01 above the state average. We have procured over $17 million in additional funding for STEM and workforce education, and we have earned an A-plus credit rating. On August 20th, vote to re-elect Dr. Karen Barber for Santa Rosa Superintendent.
Political advertisement paid for and approved by Dr. Karen Barber, Santa Rosa Superintendent of Schools.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Good morning, 7:38 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And joining me here in studio, as he typically does on a Tuesday, when schedules work. And we actually had a double. We almost thought it wasn't going to work. We both had other things that had come up, and then all of a sudden the sheriff is here, so it's good news. Sheriff Simmons, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How you doing?
I'm doing great, doing good. Let's start with probably the most unpleasant from your agency's point of view story. This is the kind of stuff you have to deal with sometimes. You have a deputy that you had to terminate over some child cruelty allegations. Is that right?
Yeah, we got a report that there were some mistreatment of some of the children of one of our former deputies, I'm proud to say. And when we did the investigation, we determined that we had probable cause to believe that he committed a child cruelty, child neglect, and then failure to require school attendance, which is a homeschool type environment.
Okay.
So we arrested him and his wife also. So you know, we don't tolerate that from anyone, and we certainly don't tolerate that from deputies. So I fired him immediately.
Can I just pause for a second, because it's stuck in my head, because we're homeschoolers, right?
Mm-hmm.
You say it was a homeschool,
right?
But it was a truancy thing as well, like they claimed to be homeschooling but weren't actually doing it or something, or?
Right? There are still some requirements in homeschool,
sure.
that you have to get,
yeah,
you know, to get completion, and they weren't doing that.
Okay.
There was some what we believe was mistreatment, you know, some dental needs and some different things that we felt like they weren't. They weren't doing.
So this is a variation on parental neglect of some sort, parental abuse of some sort. That
I think it boils down to you have a duty to care for your children,
yeah,
in a responsible way. And while we understand and we will take into account, people have differences of opinion. Some people choose to homeschool. Some people, mm-hmm, choose not to vaccinate and do vaccines. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about what we felt like was a violation of the law.
And this is, you know, not to get too deep on all this, but this is a case where this individual was otherwise a good officer, just this came to light, or, I mean, you know, we know that can happen, but.
Right, yeah, there's been no discipline issues with,
okay,
with this particular deputy, no. He,
okay,
was working assigned to the courthouse.
But obviously, you're not going to, as you say, not going to tolerate that on the force, obviously, so. Had a couple of incidents that took place. This is one that it was a little while ago, but I had wanted to talk with you about this. Your officers, your deputies had come in to clean up Jones Swamp. A lot of people were squatting. Homeless people were kind of camping out in there. And that had been an ongoing activity in partnership with the county and code enforcement, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
And the owners of the property.
And the owners,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Area Housing Commission owns the property.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've long said, if you own a piece of property and you want someone off, you can call us and we will remove them. The issue,
I mean, that's just trespassing.
That's trespassing, yeah. It's like you call me to your house and maybe, well, I wouldn't call me, but I'll certainly help out if I can. But if you have someone on your property that you want removed, then we will remove them. And so we had a meeting with county officials, code enforcement officials, had meetings with area housing, and it was clear that they wanted these people off. So they identified those who had been there for a long period of time, mm-hmm, that were, I guess you call them squatters, but they felt like they had to go through the court system, and we all agreed that if you go through the court system, get them an eviction notice, we will certainly be there and we'll take care of it. So notices were given, a couple of days advance notice. There were notices posted, made contact with these people, and told them when we're going to be there. And fortunately, they all left and we didn't have to make any arrests.
Okay, so I'm just to be clear, this was not in structures per se. This was on, like, in Jones Swamp. I mean, it was
it's in the woods
area. Okay.
Yeah, well, it was makeshift structures, but it was,
gotcha,
it was in the woods.
Okay. When you said eviction notices, I wasn't sure. It,
right,
wasn't,
but
like,
we felt like
housing,
because they had allowed them to stay there for so long, they had knowledge of them being there.
Okay.
They were actually giving them, you know, food and that sort of thing.
Okay.
That you should have
a legal process,
the court system, and get them the notices, and again, it made it cleaner and easier for all of us, and it certainly was easier, and it did work.
How does that work in Florida? I know every state's a little bit different, but, you know, if you stay in a place long enough, eventually you start to acquire, you know, residency rights just by term of occupation, even if you don't own the structure, even if you don't own the land. How does that work? Because I really don't know.
It is very tricky. It requires a lot of assessment on the owners and law enforcement's part. We had a lot of conversations with these extended stay hotels about how long is too long, and, mm-hmm, and we look at things like, do you get mail there, and you know, have you established a residence there? Do you claim that as your residence on employment records and that sort of thing?
Yeah.
But for the most part, if you allow someone to stay, certainly maybe a former renter, mm-hmm, was renting a room from you, and then they chose not to rent, not to pay rent anymore, you have to go through the eviction notice to get them out, much like property owners would on renters. And it's really that simple. If they are allowed to stay there and are given certain, you know, rights of ownership, of occupancy, I should, mm-hmm, say, then yeah, you need to get them, go through the courts and get them evicted. It takes, I don't know how much it costs. I don't think it's very much. I mean, it does take a couple of days. We get the notices. We go and post it on the door, mm-hmm, and usually we give them 3 days to vacate.
So the more you treat them as if they are allowed to be there, the more you have to go through a process in order to remove them. Basically.
That's correct. We had,
okay,
one recently where some people were, I think the homeowner passed away and the children were there, and the children wanted someone that was in the back, an outlying building. that the previous owner, you know, had let them stay in. And we went through a lot of problems with that. But ultimately, we had to determine who owns the property now and then who has the right to get them to leave and get this eviction notice.
We also had last Tuesday, I believe, there was somewhat minor, but gunfire involved in a road rage incident, right?
Yeah, as I understand it, someone cut one person off, and then an individual came out of their car and fired a gun and shot the tire out, and I think shot a couple of rounds into the vehicle.
Oh, so, God.
Luckily, no one was injured, no one was hurt, but again, it's just crazy that someone would do that, over a cut off somebody or a perceived slight on the roadway.
This is maybe a bit of a side note here, but it's the kind of thing that people might have a misconception about. You watch TV and people hide behind their cars in a gunfight. Mm-hmm. Car's not going to do a lot to stop a bullet typically. So you firing into another car is very, very, very dangerous.
And that's what we call it. There's a statute called firing deadly missiles into an occupied vehicle. That's how dangerous it could be. Mm-hmm. My understanding is he was firing at the tire and then he hit around the tire. So he hit the fender well.
Okay, gotcha.
Otherwise, we probably would have charged, or we would have termed this as an attempted homicide, or an aggravated assault at least. So if you try to shoot into a car while someone's in it, we're going to charge you with attempt. You could try to kill somebody,
right?
Like you just said, the window clearly will not stop a bullet, and the door frames now.
So
I don't think the metal's made near what it used to be, and the rounds that people fire now are have a little more penetrating power.
We're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons, Scammy County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, hang on for just a second. We've got Austin here with Traffic on the Fives.
Just a few spots to note here, starting with I-10, because it is looking like a nightmare. If you're traveling eastbound towards Highway 29, you're going to be backed up well past Pine Forest Road, but basically approaching 9 Mile Road. Speaking of 9 Mile Road, if you're traveling westbound towards I-10, we've got some backups developing there. And Highway 29, traveling southbound towards Detroit Boulevard, that intersection is looking pretty rough as well. Outside of that trifecta, though, there doesn't appear to be too much holding you up at this time. I'm Austin Price with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, Austin. Blunt Street, I think we had a stabbing. Two people maybe were at a hospital as a result of it.
Yeah, I talked to the investigators yesterday, and they just couldn't believe what happened here. This was a disturbance of some sort, and then a man went, retrieved a knife and came back and attacked one from behind, as I understand
it.
God. Cut him twice around the neck area, and then there were people trying to break it up, trying to hold him back, and one of a female got stabbed as well. So. clearly intended to do great bodily harm or death to these two individuals. So we're, again, charging him with the attempted murder. And again, as I talked to the investigators, they're like, this guy clearly tried to kill them. Or we believe he tried to kill these two people.
Well, good for the bystanders for getting involved. I mean, that's a scary situation in trying to protect somebody. I mean, that's, you know, good civics, but scary because, you know, a knife fight is a knife fight, you know?
Yeah, again, knife fights aren't as common as they were in 1800, I guess, but we still have them occasionally. And just how horrific would that be? You find yourself, you know, being attacked or stabbed by an individual. Not just stabbed, but cut. I mean, the cuts were, there were stab wounds, obviously, but there were also some
well, hospitalization, some right? Life-threatening. Cuts.
Oh, absolutely, hospitalization.
Hey, I had wanted to also ask you, we talked with Sheriff Johnson about this a little bit yesterday, but... You know, you and I have talked many times about the assassination attempt on President Trump, Secret mm-hmm. Service. I was dumbfounded to watch the Secret Service hearing last week where he clearly was blaming the SWAT team for actually doing what they had been told to do. He's changed his tone a little bit on Saturday at a briefing where he said, I'm not blaming local law enforcement. But look, President Trump is going to come here most likely for some kind of a rally, maybe. You know, Vice President Harris comes here for a rally. You guys are going to have to work with Secret Service again in the future. What do comments like that do for your officers' willingness to work with them and your agency being willing to work with them if they get thrown under the bus like that?
Yeah, first of all, getting thrown under the bus ain't cool. Yeah, that's not the way it should be. I think that what you have to realize or what I understand is that typically no one comes into our counties, our locations, and tells us how to do a SWAT thing. But we also understand that a dignitary of this nature, certainly a presidential candidate or the president, we also have to work with the Secret Service. I've talked to you before about all the planning that goes in with the advanced teams and then the teams that come. That come later, and we need to know where they're going to be. Are you going to be on this building, And they'll say, yeah, we'll take care of this, this one, this one, but our holes are here, here, and here. And then we, as a partner, will say, okay, we'll take care of those particular holes. But to blame local law enforcement in that scenario, if they come in here and say, we only have holes here and here, and if y'all could cover that, and if we cover that, then we're good. But if you screw it up on the beginning, or you're not clear on what your plans are, that's on you, mister. There's no, don't look at us and point fingers at us. I would imagine that their security is enhanced, obviously. And I imagine that the protocols that they had in place before, the cooperation that they've had in the past is probably even enhanced, because a lot more questions probably being asked by the locals. So there is no miscommunication on all this stuff. I was talking to a former sheriff, and they talked about it too, about how much money it costs locals for, and I limit this as well, that there are, they come into town, they visit, they require all this extra overtime and stuff, they don't pay you a dime. And you know, but the thing is, I don't want nothing to happen on my watch. So
right.
We make sure we have the proper, what we think is a proper security. But again, we're not the ones that say, okay, we're going to take care of this, Secret Service. I want you to get back and stay in the room. We'll cover the president.
Yeah.
That's not, no one rational thinks that's the way it works out. We expect, and I expect, the Secret Service to have a take charge mentality of, we have to protect this guy. In fact, that's the way it's been.
Right.
Quite frankly, they have asked us to do things. I'm like, do you really need that? But if you want it, we'll go ahead and do it, because we don't want to be the ones that are at fault. So I find it surprising and shocking that the Secret Service would say, oh, the locals must have messed this up, because they have always been, if anything, they've been overprotective about it, because they can.
Right.
They say, hey, again, we talked about it before, but the president it flew into NAS and went all the way to Civic Center. And they asked us to block every roadway from the Civic Center always to NAS and back. And that took a tremendous amount of manpower. And for hours before it started, we didn't want to do that. We didn't want to. But we did it because we thought, you know what, let's make sure that nothing happens. We don't want a Dallas situation.
You don't want any regret later.
Right. Yeah. And so we did it, and we made some people upset, you know, about the roadways being closed. But again, this is the president, and we did what we were asked to do.
I did get a text in here. It's one that we haven't talked about because it was from a couple of weeks ago. But there was a woman in Beulah, I think, in Cali Lane, that was shot and wound up dying. Do we have any follow up? Anything subsequent on that particular incident?
I don't have that information with me right now. I think it was still under investigation the last that I spoke to our investigators. I'm pretty sure I remember the case, but rather than just commenting about it now, I'd like to go ahead and make sure.
I remember it kind of caught my attention because it was Beulah, and that seemed like a little bit of a, you know, less common place where, you know, incidents happen. But I didn't know, and like I said, somebody texted and asked, so I was going to ask you.
it's under investigation. There were, as I understand it, there were three people in a room, or apartment type complex off of the main house, and a female ended up picking up a gun and firing at herself. So we're trying to figure out all the details around that.
Last thing is, it's not in our area, but we did have a deputy that was killed on Friday in an ambush at a home, three suspects in Lake County, Deputy Bradley Michael Link. And he's 28 years old and, you know, a hero, but it's a reminder of the dangers that your officers face, especially when, you know, the worry that you're getting called into a situation where you're the target instead of something else, you know?
There are so many opportunities that, quite frankly, that deputies and police officers can be targeted. I mean, because we go to so many calls. We handle 300,000+ calls for service a year, and you never know which one of those is going to be this type of a call. That scenario, as I understand it, was a disturbance, and then when it got to that disturbance, they pointed him to a different house. And then when it went to that different house, they noticed there was a door kicked in, that sort of thing, so they did what you would expect. You know, you hear a disturbance going on, you see a door kicked in, someone sounds like they're in distress. I think that's a hard part about being in law enforcement. You have to determine whether you knock, do you wait, do you go inside,
right.
But you know, and so you always err on the side of saving lives. And they did their job. They did that to a hail of gunfire. And it's just I guess when the details come out, we'll know a little bit more. But listening to the sheriff in Lake County talking about it, obviously it's a very, very raw and very sensitive situation because they lost one of their deputies and two others were hospitalized with serious injuries. And they're still piecing that together. So the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, as they do here, is looking into that officer-involved shooting, and it's just going to be I'm a great interest to me because we always take these situations.
They're learning opportunities,
with those, and we say, okay, what if this were to happen here? What could you have done? And there may not sometimes there may not be anything you could do because the job itself is dangerous, and you put yourself in harm's way every day.
I said last, but there is actually one. Do you have any deputies that you deployed for the hurricane, sent over for the storms, either ahead of or after the fact? Anybody go from the Scammy Sheriff's Office for Debbie?
No, the way this works is a state EOC requests people's assistance. They put out feelers and requests. Does anyone have this particular thing? So, and if we don't, we don't get reimbursed for that. So, and what you don't want is for people to just show up.
Right.
And nowhere to go or nowhere to work. We've had that back in Ivan. We had people just showing up and we were like, I don't know what you're.
Why are you here?
We're doing here. We can't feed you. There's 50 people here. We can't house you. Yeah. We can't feed you. And we have no job for you to do. But the bottom line is we haven't been requested yet. And at this point, it doesn't look like we're going to be requested. It was a Category 1. I'm not saying making light of it. We've been through plenty of Category 1s. And you suffer through those. But we have not yet been requested. But anytime the state EOC requests our assistance, we will go.
Very good. Chip Simmons is the sheriff for Escambia County. Always stops by on a Tuesday and helps keep us informed. Thank you so much for the time. Thanks for doing what you do to keep us safe, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
You bet. Y'all take care.
7:55 on News Radio 92.3. Austin has got traffic on the fives.
Looking at the roads here, we don't have a ton going on. Your biggest problem is going to be on I-10 if you're traveling eastbound towards Highway 29 and on Highway 29 itself if you're traveling southbound towards Detroit Boulevard and continuing southbound as you approach Burgess Road. Outside of those few spots, though, there's not much holding you up at this time. I'm Austin Price with your traffic on the fives.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
News Radio Pensacola is the best place to reach informative, local, and dependable listeners. But did you know you can reach sports fanatics on one of our family of radio stations, ESPN Pensacola? It's our area's top place to reach sports fans.
Hi, this is Jim Grimes with Southern Media. The team at ESPN Pensacola has been fantastic to work with, offering us effective advertising solutions that resonate with the local sports community. We highly recommend them.
To have your business reach sports fans today, call 850-262-6000.
Conservative Republican Walker Wilson, Escambia County's next generation of conservative leadership. Wilson is a fiscal conservative who will cut taxes to give hardworking families and seniors on fixed incomes relief from rising prices and make life more affordable. Wilson will invest in infrastructure projects to ease traffic congestion and upgrade our aging stormwater systems to protect our neighborhoods from flood risks. Walker Wilson will fully fund the Sheriff's Department to keep us safe, work to give the sheriff the power to enforce our immigration laws, and push to recover the millions of taxpayer dollars spent on benefits to illegal aliens. Walker Wilson has deep roots here and shares our North Florida small-town conservative values. Vote for conservative Republican Walker Wilson for Escambia County Commission, Escambia County's next generation of conservative leadership.
Paid by Walker Wilson, Republican for Escambia County Commissioner.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
I said I ain't getting on no airplane, Hannibal.
Good morning, 7:50. 7:58 on News Radio 92.3. Steve is in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
Well, good morning. The U.S. men's basketball team is taking on Brazil today in a quarterfinal round game at the Olympics. Try to get that word out. Team USA went unbeaten in group play, seeking the fifth straight gold medal. The winner advances to Thursday's semifinal against the winner of today's game between Serbia and Australia. And that's what's happening.
I feel like if there was a court shaped like an oval,
yeah,
then all of a sudden you'd be struggling to come up with, well, is it the Olympics?
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.